Informally.
That one, okay.
All right, so this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. McWhorter in case number 24101. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it in ARS 322234. Dr. McWhorter, if you could please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. John McWhorter.
This is Flint Carey Counsel for the licensee.
Thank you. Dr. McWhorter, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
No further materials.
Perfect. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to the matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given the opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, could you please give us a brief summary on the case?
Okay. On January 25th, 2024, Winnie, an 11-month-old female dachshund, was presented to the respondent on emergency due to vomiting and a possible foreign body ingestion. Radiographs revealed that the dog had foreign material present. Respondent discussed the findings with the complainant's mother that the material may pass or cause a blockage. The dog was discharged with sirenia and recommendations to follow up with the primary care veterinarian in 5 to 7 days. On January 28, 2024, the dog was presented to Arise on emergency due to progressive vomiting. The complainant initially declined all diagnostics and treatments. However, after further discussion, she provided approval. Diagnostics revealed foreign body obstruction with concerns of GI perforation and peritonitis. The complainant declined treatment and surgery and sought out a second opinion. The dog was presented to the Scottsdale Veterinary Clinic for a second opinion. Dr. Gorham did not feel comfortable performing the surgical explore due to the complexity of the case and referred the complainant to a boarded surgeon. The dog was presented to AVECCC. Dr. Hugh evaluated the dog and recommended emergency surgery with them or through SVSS. The surgeon from SVSS performed an abdominal laparotomy on the dog and found multiple perforations along the duodenum. Due to the poor prognosis and decreased quality of life, the complainant elected to humanely euthanize the dog. The complainant expressed concerns that the respondent did not disclose the recommendations of the radiologist to repeat radiographs in 4 to 8 hours to reassess the dog's GI tract for possible obstruction. And the investigative committee recommended violation ARS 322231, gross negligence, failure to recommend surgery on a dog which resulted in harm to the dog. The respondent's narrative did not reflect the information documented in the medical record, and failure to provide adequate instructions if the dog did not respond to the respondent's recommendations.
Okay, thank you. Dr. McWhorter, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. So Dr. McWhorter, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I also have some comments. I'll defer to you, Chair, on what order you'd like those in.
You two may choose.
All right, I'm gonna just briefly, I have a few comments and then I'll let Dr. McWhorter respond in some more detail about the case presentation. I think what's important here is there's evidence, we have the benefit of several different clinicians looking at this animal and over a timeline, and it has given us some insight, I think, into how the patient's family viewed this case and the steps that they took, and I think they largely support Dr. McWhorter here. First of all, the radiology report and the licensee's chart does show possible options, including suggestion of further imaging within 4 to 8 hours. And to track the debris and the surgical option. Licensee did chart the recommendations and included the radio report, and he made those documents immediately available to the owner, which included the recommendation for re-imaging within 4 to 8 hours, and again referencing surgery. The owners did not authorize further imaging, and the charting from Arise, which is our second in-line provider, indicated that they that their owner was very cost conscious. In the Arise records, they declined all care, and then ultimately they did allow care, some basic care, but then they wanted to find someone who had a lower cost. There are text messages where they're talking very explicitly about the cost of the surgery and how they found someone who could do it cheaper. Ultimately, that person in Scottsdale said not they were not comfortable doing it. I think what's really relevant is Dr. Ahmed, who did not have any interaction with Dr. McWhorter, specifically wrote in his Arise chart, the owners were told to give Serenia and were informed that if Winnie vomits through the Serenia, they need to seek veterinary care. If you look at the Arise chart though, the animal was vomiting continuously for 5 days. And so we know, we have to assume that Dr. McWhorter gave the instruction, if Winnie throws up through the Serenia, you have to go get medical care because it's in the chart from Arise. So they had to have disclosed that. And they instead opted, after getting the Serenia on the 25th, not to seek care for that animal till the 28th. And so there is a delay in care, and I think that that does create some concerns over whether the causation here of the animal was the delay in care. I think there's also an indication in the text messages that throwing up is a bad sign, yet continuous, they waited 3 days to get that kind of care. Certainly, the records do not support a finding that all licensee advised them was, quote, all Winnie needed was to take anti-nausea medicine and some Pepcid. That simply is not reflected in any of the records provided that this was as minimal as taking a little bit of medication. Regarding the surgery and the decision to treat or to do surgery or use conservative treatment, you may recognize I am not a veterinarian, so I don't want to tell anyone how to do their licensed profession. These are going to be questions you're better to address to Dr. McWhorter. But I do want to note we have provided you with some literature about the treat, don't treat, surgery, don't surgery decision tree. There's literature to support both options. And I would just suggest that even if another vet, like the Arise vet or the Scottsdale vet or whomever, would have utilized a different plan of care, the mere fact that there's two clinicians who disagree, that doesn't mean that Dr. McWhorter deviated from the standard of care. It certainly doesn't mean that the other clinician deviated from the standard of care. It just means that there are different options. And obviously, because this is, and certainly not to diminish it, it's animal medicine instead of human medicine, there's a cost element at all times, which we don't have the benefit like we do sometimes of access and some of the other ways where that cost factor can be pushed to the side temporarily. Finally, the other thing I wanted to just raise is the gross negligence issue. And this is truly a legal concern I have, which is even if you do find that there was some deviation from the standard of care, which we don't necessarily agree with that assertion of the investigative committee, gross negligence means willful or wanton conduct. And I think that there is a dividing line here where I don't think it can be said that the doc engaged in willful or wanton conduct as to this animal, especially because the charting clearly shows the different possible options, including conservative treatment or surgery. I know that the owners have concerns as to what Dr. McWhorter communicated to them. I would submit to you there's no basis for him not to have communicated the variety of options that are available for this animal. And there's no reason he wouldn't read the radiology report in full if he did that, and then skip a recommendation about the 4 to 8 hours of imaging, or the emphasis from the radiologist about the potential for a need for surgery. So we would suggest that there is not a deviation here. I know that there's always, with the benefit of looking backwards, more charting that could have been done to be a little bit more aggressively defensive of the clinician. Unfortunately, a lot of cases that the board gets, whether this board or any other healthcare board, charting is always a component of that. And I think that had the charting been a little bit more aggressive in this area regarding the surgery versus treat, I don't think we'd even be here today on this case. So I think that at most, what we have is some concerns over how effectively it was documented. I still don't think that documentation necessarily deviates, though. So with that context, I'd like to turn over to Dr. McWhirter and allow him to give you a little bit more from a clinical perspective, and I will just sit here and be a pot of plan at that point so you can ask your questions.
Okay. We've heard of where things started on the morning of the 25th of January. When he was presented, had been vomiting. First step in quality of care is examination was done. The only abnormality that I noted was there was just a little bit of skin tinting, indicating a little bit of dehydration. Palpating the entire abdomen, I did not pick up anything of any difference in firmness. Definitely did not pick up any signs of pain associated with the palpation. Stepping on forward then is with the quality of care, as I recommended radiographs. I recommended three views, ventrodorsal, right side down, left side down. And I also suggested that we'd have a board certified radiologist take a look at those radiographs as well. We took the radiographs. I was in the examination room with the grandmother to Winnie, and presented those radiographs to her and discussed what was going on. Only thing that that I was seeing was the digestive tract. I did not go into other body systems that were not showing any signs. But I showed that we had what looked like chewed up fragments that they had described in the vomit. Looked like there was a good number of those in the stomach. There was some free floating in the small intestines, and there was some of those same foreign body objects were in the foreign fecal material in the rectum. At that point, I said that I would definitely recommend that exploratory surgery be done to look for any problems and removal of the debris. As I mentioned, that I had showed the presence of the fragments in the small bowel and the large bowel. I was asked, can Winnie pass these? And I said, it may be. We do not know. Using the standard of care literature lists that time may be a valid option as compared to surgery. But again, as I discussed things, every time surgery was mentioned, the talk went back away to the conservative lines of treatment. The owner had Serenia at home that was being used for to alleviate signs of motion sickness, travel. I suggested that they use the Serenia. and use it according to the label. And a good sign of what may or may not be working is if the vomiting continues through the use of the Serenia. I also suggested that there would be no problem of using Pepcid once a day just to keep the stomach in a closer to normal acid-base balance. At that time, the owners were, or the grandmother was feeling comfortable of going home, and that was with the statement that once the radiology report came back from the radiologist, I would be on the phone, and that I would go over that report once it came in. Later that day, when it did come in, I did call. I went over the findings that were in the report that were the abnormal findings, all contained to the digestive tract, and I read the recommendations of the certified radiologist. Again, as we were talking about hindsight being what it is, if you do read the radiology report, the vast majority of the discussion going on in the recommendations does not pertain to surgery. There's one short part sentence in those reports that do say surgery. So I do feel that standard of care was met, and in that regard, the next day I called the owners. I did not get any answer. I left a message. At that point in time, I told them to seek care with the primary veterinarian. So that was one of the assumptions that I took with the phone call and no answer.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Thank you. That's all right. Okay, so I'd like to ask board members if you have any questions for Dr. McWhorter.
Yeah, a few questions. This involves these conversations between you. Focusing on the first conversation with the complainant's mother, this is when you and she are reviewing the radiographs, correct? Okay. And from your narrative that you supplied us, when you told the compliance mother, ideally surgery should be performed, and what was her response to that statement?
Her response was going back to the fact that fragments could be seen throughout the intestinal tract, and her question was, well, can we wait and give this time and see if it passes?
So that was in direct response to your saying ideally surgery.
Okay.
And then in the same instance, when you told the complainant's mother that the number of pieces in the duodenum concerned you and they may be blocking passage, what did she respond when you told her that?
Again, we went back to asking questions about if time is given, is allowed to pass, and see if the fragments do pass.
So to both of those questions, she responded the same.
Correct.
And then the second conversation you had with the complainant's mother, this is after the report comes mm-hmm. back. That was done on the phone.
Correct.
In the afternoon. When you state that you read the report to the complainant's mother, I wasn't sure whether it was the mother or complainant's, but I believe the narrative says mother. Was that a word-for-word reading, or a summary or paraphrasing or how was it?
It was detailing the digestive tract. Nothing abnormal was found in any of the other systems on the x-ray. So what I read to her was everything associated with the digestive tract.
Including the assessment of the pylorus and the duodenum, yes, and the recommendation for repeat radiology. Mm-hmm. And so at that conversation then again, what was your response when the complaint's mother asked about giving the situation more time?
I said that ideally imaging should be repeated to make sure that the objects in the stomach are passing.
So when you told, again, the complainant's mother that the repeat radiograph should be done, what time frame did you give her?
I said the radiograph says 4 to 8 hours. I said definitely by the next morning.
So you told her the 4 to 8 hour recommendation. Mm-hmm. And then do you recall a third conversation, this time with the complainant herself on the phone?
With Winnie's mother, mm-hmm, the daughter, yes. And I did the same thing. I read through the report, again, pertaining only to the digestive tract.
Did you recommend to the complainant surgery during that conversation?
Yes.
Your record states under recommendations that it's still a possibility of duodenal blockage. If a blockage occurs, surgery will be needed. So then, with that in mind, did you discuss re-radiographing now with the complainant?
Yes, I said additional imaging needs to be done.
And did you give a time frame?
I said the radiologist report says 4 to 8 hours.
Did you discuss with her what would indicate a blockage or what she should be looking for?
If the vomiting continued even with the use of the Serenium.
Okay. In these discussions regarding surgery, did you provide an estimate to the complainant or the complainant's mother of surgical costs? Did you discuss costs of surgery?
No, I did not.
And did you discuss referral to a surgeon?
I suggested to the primary veterinarian, she could come back to us if need be in another place of veterinary care offering emergency surgery.
But you discussed surgery, and ideally surgery should be done.
Correct.
I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, surgery should be done now.
Now.
Were you prepared, or anyone in your practice prepared to do surgery?
Yes.
So you could have gone in then. Mm-hmm. There were no discussions about cost or aftercare or anything.
Answering what I think you're asking is that during the conversation in the examination room, any time that I came close to talking about surgery, I was asked away to more conservative means of treatment. And having done that, then filling out the record, at that point, yes, I failed to give an estimate of surgery costs.
Okay. So I was able to put together a timeline here between your records and some information we got from the complainant's mother, I think. Winnie's appointment on that day was in the morning, around 8 a.m., and so the radiographs were taken then in that time frame, 8 to 8:30, whatever in there, okay. And then the report came in later, and you called the complainant's mother around 1 p.m. Would that be your recollection? Okay. So given that report that we're talking about, stating that repeat fasting radiographs should be considered in 4 to 8 hours to reassess the GI tract, especially to confirm passage or distension blockage, I'm paraphrasing, or if material persists or there is distension, then surgical intervention or gastroscopy may be warranted. So it's 1 o'clock. Why didn't you recommend that the complainant's mother bring Winnie back for a repeat radiograph?
I believe I did. I said we can do those radiographs again this afternoon.
And then compare them.
Correct.
So the radiologist recommended that, and you were concerned, it says in your discharge, that you were concerned about that area. So you recommended, come on back in and we'll do more radiographs and compare them and see where we stand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have endoscopy in your clinic?
No, we do not.
Okay. So when you need endoscopy on an emergency basis, foreign body usually, what procedure do you follow?
If we're needing endoscopy, then we have a good working relationship with the Gilbert Queen Creek ER facility. They typically get the patient right
in. So you would have got the patient right in for scoping, but that wasn't discussed or an option?
No, not until the wording in the radiologist report.
So given the radiologist report and your concerns about blockage in this area, why was the recommendation for a recheck in 5 to 7 days?
That is a system that was placed on the record-keeping system of that practice. It was originally placed in there with the constraints of COVID and immediately post-COVID, and being able to get back in to be seen again with the home veterinarian, the primary veterinarian. Since then, that recommendation in the computerized record system has been put in to where different days can be put in.
So my understanding that wasn't your recommendation, but that was just automated by the software?
It was automated, it is now.
But that was not, 5 to 7 days wasn't your recommendation?
No.
And then why was there no documentation regarding the conversations in the medical record, considering the importance of this decision?
All I can say is that once I got the radiology report in hand, rather than sit down, open up the computerized record and then make the phone call, I made the phone call with just the printed radiology report in front of me.
But you didn't, regarding the conversations you had with the complainant and the complainant's mother.
On the phone.
Would it be on the phone or in person? Why would it be your general practice not to include client correspondence in your medical record? I recommended surgery is what I would have. In your record saying, I recommended surgery of some type, paraphrasing.
As I said earlier, I think definitely improperly, with having the discussion of the options of surgery or more conservative measures, every time I got pushed back into the area of conservative measures, when I sat down after the examination was done, my mindset was on the conservative measures. So that was an animation on my part.
So that wouldn't just be that you just don't record client communications.
No,
you just didn't in this case.
Correct.
Okay, that's all. No other questions.
Any other questions, board members?
And Chair Frost, we didn't submit this because it was just almost unreadable, but I did get the metadata from the chart, and I do have that the report, the chart was sent at 1:37 and 57 seconds on the same day as the CARE. I don't think that was up for dispute, but if there's an issue, I can make it available to Victoria. It just, I could not find a way from a tech perspective to cut and paste it.
Okay, that's fine.
I guess in closing, the numerous times I mentioned, whether it was in person in the examination or on the telephone, that they would be receiving digital copy of steps that were taken place in the clinic, and the radiology report would be sent to them electronically. So that report in its entirety was in their hands.
All right, thank you, you guys can, we can step back now.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So we do have the complainants here. Would you like to address the board? If you could step forward, please. If you could both please introduce yourselves.
I am Kimberly Rollins. I am, this is my daughter Mackenzie Ferrick. You can introduce yourself, but I'm her mother and the grandmother of Winnie.
Okay.
I'm Mackenzie Ferrick. I'm the owner of Winnie.
All right. We're just going to swear you in.
Okay. Yes.
So do you swear or affirm the evidence that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. So now, We've read the materials that you provided to the board, so you can go ahead and address the board.
Let me start first.
Yeah, you start first.
So, I guess I would like to describe the experience that we went through, and then I would like to come back and address what I just heard that was presented on the other side, if that seems fair. I've never done this before, so bear with me. So my daughter and her fiance had reached out to me. Their dog Winnie had been sick, and they asked if I was able to take her to the urgent care vet because they were concerned that she had blockages and might need surgery, and if I was available because my daughter is in physician's assistant school and her fiance works full time. And that Winnie, they believe that she had ingested some material outside, and she was vomiting, hadn't had bowel movements, suffering from general malaise, and did not appear well. And so I said, yes, my schedule is somewhat flexible, I'm self-employed, so I said, I will take Winnie in as soon as you tell me when. So she had found Dr. McWhorter's practice. She would have normally taken the dog to the vet, as she always does, but because we were concerned about the emergency situation, we sought out an emergency vet to be able to take immediate action. So I showed up, I went and picked up Winnie that morning. They provided me a sample of the material that had come from some of the vomit, and I took Winnie and met with Dr. McWhorter. I filled out the information, got into the back office, and he did a physical examination of her. Like he had mentioned, he did, you know, palpate her and those items. I showed him the excrement that she had been throwing up, told him that we were exceedingly scared that she needed surgery, that we were afraid that she had blockages, and we needed to find out what was going on. He said, let's do an x-ray. I said, great, let me get permission from my daughter and her fiance. I sent them the text to keep them apprised of what was going on. They said yes, they had that done. The x-ray came back, and Dr. McWhorter went over it with me. He showed me, I could see all of the material going through her entire digestive system, from what looked to me to be the stomach all the way down to where it would come from. And at that point, he's like, I see this all the time. He's like, she doesn't need surgery. She should be able to pass this. And I said, are you sure? She doesn't need surgery. I mean, that was why we went to an urgent care. We didn't wait. We didn't take time to find out if something else needed to be done. We wanted to know if it needed to be done immediately. I don't want to interject some of my personal feelings into this, but some of the things that I've heard are demonstratively false. I can't believe they've been said under oath. For you to further understand that my daughter and her care, because they believe that some of the things that they've said are to paint my daughter as somebody that was trying to be cheap, or that we were trying to be cheap, and that is not the case. My daughter paid $3,000 for that dog, traveled to Utah to go pick up that pet and bring it home. All they wanted to do was have that dog taken care of. And so we went to the urgent vet to have surgery if that was what was going to happen, whether that was $1 or $50,000. We needed the dog to be taken care of. So we did not have a discussion about, during that time frame, that he showed me that. I brought up that, did she need surgery? Not him. He did not say, do you need surgery? She needs surgery, or we need reevaluation. That did not occur at all. I never once declined anything, and all of that can be demonstrated through that text messaging system that I sent to my daughter and her fiance about what was going on, because I kept them apprised because they were so worried. That nothing was ever brought up, no cost, no discussion of that. So when I asked him and I said, does she need surgery, repeatedly, he said, no. She does not. She should be fine. She goes, the only thing would be possibly if later down the road she develops a problem and it doesn't continue to pass. He said, but all you need to worry about is that you might see a little bit of blood in her stool as she starts to pass the items. And he said, she probably is dehydrated. Do you want to hydrate her? So I asked my daughter and her fiance, they said, yes, let's do the hydration. So we've shown that everything that he did actually recommend, we did do. We didn't even question it. I just needed to let them know that that's what we were doing. And so we hydrated her. He said, I see this. He was very sweet and very kind and had a very gentle demeanor. So I believed his intention. And he's like, everything is going to be fine, Kimberly. He's like, I see this all the time. She's going to be okay. At no point did he create any sense of urgency that my daughter's dog might be dying and was in immediate need of a second evaluation or needed immediate surgery, that he needed to rush her in or rush her to whoever he contracts with or send us somewhere else to get a second opinion to have that done. He sent us home with, I will give you a call as soon as we get the radiology report back. If we find anything different, then I will let you know. He said, but continue doing what you're doing, which was the medication that my daughter had for nausea, and to just monitor. But it wasn't, there was no mention of, if she continues to vomit, this should be a clear sign that you need to go do something. That was never brought up, that was never discussed. He was more concerned, like if you just see blood in the poop, that's normal, that it might be the stuff scraping the intestinal tract as it's coming out. So I left with Winnie, and as you can see in the text messages, I let them know that everything seemed okay, that the horrible emergency that we needed to rush her into surgery was probably not the case, because the doctor had not recommended it. So we left, I brought the dog home to her house, and I went on with my schedule. Around 1 o'clock, Dr. McWhorter did call me. He never once read anything from that radiology report, let alone describe any of the medical terms that would have been listed on there. And to go back and to address when something was electronically sent to us, first of all, nothing was ever electronically sent to me, ever. I do not have any records, nothing, no emails were sent to me, no record of any follow-up was sent to me. It was, however, sent to my daughter. However, my daughter is in PA school, And we were relying on going to the professional, not that we needed to go run out and go find an email and then reread whatever it is that they might be sending to us. So hindsight, we would never do that again moving forward. If we ever have an injury with a pet, believe me, we will be checking immediately. But we trusted that he was taking the proper steps as a veterinarian to inform us of what needed to be done. And so when he called at 1 o'clock, he started to say, you know what, I got the radiology report back. It substantiates what we talked about in the office. Everything should be okay. She's gonna be fine in 5 to 7 days. If something starts to look worse, you know, around that time, then you may need to have it reevaluated. He never said that she needed to actually have an immediate radiology redone. He never said that there needed to be another opinion. He never said, come in and we need to do surgery now. None of that. He never read anything on the report. So when my daughter actually, when things progressed, and then she really did read the radiology report, and then she told me, I was stunned because it just wasn't anything that had ever come up in the interactions that I had had with Dr. McWhorter. So in that conversation, he started to describe that she needed to, he recommended that she go on Pepcid, that if she continues to vomit, to take the nausea medication. And at that point I said, you know what, why don't you give my daughter a direct call, because it's her pet. She's the one that's going to be administering it, and I do not wish to make an error on like the diet, you know, the amount that she needs to be given or when. And he said, okay. And after, as soon as we hung up, I texted my daughter and I told her, please look for Dr. McWhorter to be calling you. You may not recognize the number, please answer. And so she did. And then I'll let her take her side of the story because I wasn't party to that conversation. So after we hung up, I assumed everything was, you know, going forward the way that had been described to me. And so over the next couple of days, I checked in with them, that I have texts as well saying, hey, has she pooped? Because the big concern was she pooping? Was she passing the poop? And at first she wasn't, but then I got a text message from her fiance saying, oh, Winnie went number two. And we were like, yes. So I felt good. I was like, okay, she's gonna be fine. And then the next thing I know is that I follow up to see how she's doing, and I find out that they are at the emergency vet and that things are really bad and that she does need surgery. And then of course things unfolded and she had to be euthanized. So to address, there's so many things to address here, I don't even know where to begin with what I've just heard. A few things, because I feel that the council is trying to misrepresent my daughter and paint her as an irresponsible owner of a pet, and myself as the grandmother, and that my daughter is unable to afford to have had surgery on her pet or have the means to that access to be able to do so. So I'm only stating these things to be contradictory to the picture they're trying to paint, because my daughter is a 25-year-old person. My daughter is a professional. She graduated with honors from ASU on a full merit scholarship. She is graduating top of her class of her PA school here. She's in the middle of her rotations right now. She is smart, she is educated. She is getting married to a gentleman that is 26 years old and has bought a second house here in Phoenix, even during this incredible, crazy market that we have. He has a great job. They are financially stable. Money is not the issue. They wouldn't be buying designer dogs if money was the issue. So the fact that their council is trying to paint my daughter or myself or our family as somebody that was unable or unwilling to even consider doing an operation is mind-boggling and completely and demonstratively false. We were there intentionally to have surgery, whether it was $1 or $20,000. I'll let my daughter talk about why they had different opinions, but a lot of it had to do with, there was a lot of confusion going on because it was so different than all the information that we had been given by Dr. McWhorter. And as a reasonable person, you can expect that people might be shocked when all of a sudden things are something totally different and not unexpected, that my daughter did try to get second opinions. But ultimately, they absolutely did the surgery. And of course, by then, it was too late. several items that I would like to also bring up is that I have had pets my whole life. I haven't been to a vet once where if they recommended something to me that they did not provide me an estimate, and often if I refused something for some reason, they actually had me sign off that I refused something. So the reason that there is no documentation in Dr. McWhorter's notes, it's not because of COVID, it's not because there is something in place that automatically filled his stuff, and if so, then you should request all his medical records, because believe me, ours would not be the only one. This would be across the board for all his medical records. This wouldn't be us singled out. And I can guarantee you that it's not that way, because that is not true. So those were the recommendations, and the soap notes that are in there are what happened, because that is what happened, because all the things that he's talking about and trying to answer and now counteract and that are different from what his statement said, he wasn't even present at the first meeting. In the second meeting, he didn't state any of these things, and now all of a sudden, because he knows he's in trouble, he's bringing up this other stuff that did not occur. It didn't occur because it's not in the notes. And if you show up to a vet, they're going to give you an estimate. If I want to get my cat's teeth done, they give me an estimate for this. Even if I'm not going to have them do it. So there is no estimate. How? He said that I repeatedly changed the conversation anytime the surgery came up. So let me ask you this. Would a reasonable person, sorry, I'm getting a little bit emotional. Would a reasonable person not even be open to discussing surgery if they didn't even know what the cost was? How irresponsible would that be? Why would I even have helped my daughter take it to the Winnie to the emergency vet if I wouldn't even listen to what the cost was? That makes no sense. It's because it never happened, because he never brought up surgery. He never said it was an option that needed to be considered, and did not provide any indication that we needed to do it. So that's why it wasn't taken. If he would have said those things, we would have done it. And I just, if you can bear with me for 1 second, I just want to go back to some notes, just because. I did mark that I have to agree with his counsel that we do agree that there is no reason why he wouldn't have read the radiology report. That's why it's all the more complexity why he didn't. Because why would he not have read it, other than it was contradictory to his own opinion, or he was completely negligent and just didn't bother?